Today on Real Life Radio.
Your heart has said, Lord, I'm listening. And the proof of it, that you are a believer, is your, in a sense, holy frustration that you're close to Jesus, but not close enough. You know what I'm saying? You love him, but not enough. What a glorious contradiction to live in, because it means that you're alive.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called Is This Your Heart? Part 4. The Gospel of Luke, it's a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 8, we'll see how the heart is the very core of who we are. You see, when Jesus spoke of seeds landing by the wayside on rocks or among thorns, the seeds weren't able to survive. But when the seeds land on good soil, they thrive and they reproduce. And you know, it's exactly the same with our hearts. Those who reject God's gospel message will suffer and eventually perish. But those who embrace the gospel will share the love of Jesus and prosper. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that there are rich people, there are wealthy people, and there are blessed people. A heart rich towards God doesn't care what it has. It continues to grow, producing a crop 100 times as when it was first planted. Now with his message called, Is This Your Heart? Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Is there a heart like this in you, a heart willing to learn? We learn this from the latter end of verse 8. When he who had said these things, Jesus, when he had said them, he cried out. And this is what he cried out saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. After studying this, it brings tears to your eyes. And I got my tears all filled up and emptied out by now. Jesus never once ever said, thus saith the Lord. He was the Lord. And what does the Lord say? This is the most precious thing, you guys. Jesus Christ himself cried out and said, and it's almost tragic, and yet it's beautiful. He who has ears to hear. The gravity of that invitation, church, I don't know. I've thought about how I could explain this to you. I wrote in my notes, you got to be very passionate about this to communicate Jesus' vulnerability. And that's what I wrote. Do you know what Jesus is saying? Thus saith the Lord, that's me. I came from heaven to earth. I left my throne and put on this human suit. And this is what I'm saying to you. Please, please, if you only knew what was at stake and if you only knew that eternity's for real, with or without me, it's for real. Will you please hear my invitation? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's begging us. God will never bend your arm, but this is as close as he gets. God will never force himself on you. God will never say, become a Christian or else you're going to get your head cut off. He'll never do that. It's true from the heart, your decision. And Jesus is saying, please, please hear me. You know, the heart of God, I bet if he could, he would say, I'm going to bend your arm right now and make you believe this. But he won't do that because that's not a real relationship. My friend, learn this, that Jesus is the master. But his mastership over us is unlike anything you and I have ever known. In fact, for Robert and for Andrew, being in the Marines and in the Navy, they have masters. And those masters will cuss at them, say things about their mama, and say things about them. They will do things that should not be done, but it's done. And there are masters in the military. There are masters in the world. Saddam Hussein was the master of Iraq. There are masters. Disagree, you're dead. Jesus is not like that. And yet he's the greatest master of all. How does that work? It does not work by tyranny. His mastership is never by force. The Lord is master over his subjects who have willingly submitted to him. Do you understand that the heart that Jesus loves and the heart that is heaven-bound is a heart that says, Lord, will you rule and reign over me? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Let me ask you this. How often in the day do you pray that prayer? Lord, will you rule over me? Will you rule over my thoughts? God, will you rule over my lusts? Will you rule over my temper and my anger, God? Will you rule over me? Have you ever prayed the prayer, oh God, I don't want to think anymore. I want you to think for me. Have you come to that place of his mastery in your life where you just say, I don't want to be in charge? That's the greatest freedom in the world. I've been reading a book about George Washington. And every time he had something big to decide or something pressing, you know what? In fact, there's artist renderings because people would spy on George Washington. Did you know that? He would go away from everybody. And there's a famous pencil drawing that he went out into the woods just outside of Valley Forge. And he got on his knees in the snow. He got off his horse and he began to pray. And a pastor had followed him into the wilderness and was spying on him. And that prayer is even recorded because that pastor was snooping in. This snoop was listening, and Washington was crying out to God to intervene because things looked so bleak. And then nobody knew, but he came, except for that snoopy pastor. Then he comes riding back into town, and everyone who met Washington stated that there is not a king in all of Europe that wouldn't look like a valet next to the regalness of George Washington at all times. And Washington would tell you that his strength was from the Lord. He would cry out in his moment of weakness. That's the kind of heart that's toward God. Is, oh God, I can't do this. Will you do it through me and for me? Jesus says, that's a good heart. It's understanding who the master is. Not only who the master is, but who the host is. The Lord is the host. We need to learn that. When I say host, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him come to me. Let him listen. Let him hear. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the great inviter says this, in truth, the Bible speaks, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, Paul said, you welcomed it not as though it were the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Jesus invites us, hear the word. And Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, you've heard the word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, listen to what Peter said. Now that you've been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for the brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass. Boy, is that not true? And all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Thirdly, a willing heart to learn is to learn that the Lord is King. Look at verse 8 again at the latter end. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What a great statement this is, because Jesus is saying, I'm your master if you're willing. I'm your host. I invite you. Will you come? And Jesus says, I'm your king. Will you submit to me? When you meditate just on those three aspects of Christ, don't you want to, listen, are you not a Christian today? Man, if you're not a Christian, what do you need? Do you need another cup of coffee? We'll give it to you. What do you need? What else do you need to hear? You should become a Christian. Stop looking at the people around you. Well, I'm not going to be a Christian because this guy picks his nose. I'm not going to be a Christian because that guy never shuts up about God. Or I'm not going to be a Christian because I'll never say praise the Lord. Forget that stuff. What will you do with your soul? What are you going to do with all of your life and the stuff that you've achieved and the stuff you don't want anybody to know about? Jesus says, I still want to be your host. I still want to be your master. I still want to be your king. But you have to come to me. Do you have ears to hear? Are you listening? The heart that is toward God, the good soil, the good heart says, yes, I'm coming. I'll say yes to you, Lord. Remember, as I said a couple of studies ago, regarding these four hearts, only 25% of the listeners are the ones that wind up into heaven. Out of the four hearts, 75% of them never make it to heaven. You say, well, Jack, that's true, but God's not into statistics. This is true, but Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to hell and to destruction, and many there are on that path. And so when you think about this, 25% of Jesus' illustration are the ones that make it to heaven. Out of 100%, only 25% make it. Now, this is first service, and you're smart for coming, because second service, you won't even get a seat. But from my vantage point, can I have you guys in this area stand from here over, just in this aisle over here? Will you guys stand for a second? You can stand, it's okay. This guy's looking to his wife for permission. You can stand. Look at this. What if the rest of this parable, what if it's preached? Jesus is saying to the preacher and to the one listening, after it's all put out, the seed is holy and pure, the seed goes out, it tests and judges the soils. After the end of the day, these receive it, these bear fruit, and these go to heaven. Now stop right here, watch. This is 1/4 of this sanctuary. This is 25% of this sanctuary standing. Isn't it interesting that out of the 5,000 adults that attend this church, it just so happens that there's somewhere between 400 to 500 people who actually tithe in their money toward the church out of 5,000. Out of serving in ministry, out of the 5,000 adults only that attend this church, there are hundreds that serve this body. I'm just telling you about a trend that if you look around this sanctuary, the bulk of the people are sitting down. The bulk of the people do nothing. I'm not saying you, I'm just saying statistically, the bulk of the people pray nothing, do nothing, give nothing, serve nothing but a few. Jesus said, out of all those that hear the word of God, there is a fragment, it's 25%, that hear the word of God and bear fruit. Thank you. You guys can sit down. Is that not alarming? Now watch. It is alarming for us to see it displayed like this, and then it's alarming for us to search our own hearts. But I got to tell you, as a pastor, as a presenter of the word of God, it's incredibly encouraging. You say, what, are you crazy, Jack? Out of all your labors, only 25% of your labors, out of all that you do is meaningful in the end? I thank God it's 25%. Because you understand what it feels like to give the Bible out, not knowing if anybody's ever listening. And so I rejoice in this. Why? Because one kernel of corn can feed the world. That little group over there, you guys, can change the world. That's all he needs. And I love that. It's encouraging. Third and final point is this. Verse 15, you got to skip all the way now to verse 15. Jesus gives the explanation. Is this your heart? A heart desiring to abide. Can you jot that down? This is very, very important. This is very important. A heart desiring to abide. Don't raise your hand, but do you desire to stay close to Jesus? Oh, what the heck? Raise your hand. Do you desire to stay close to Jesus? I'm going to put both of them up. Don't you? And listen, has it not ever entered your mind, God, please, please keep me close. Please keep me close to you. This word abide is a great word. The word means to take up residence. It means to live with. It means to pull up a chair and sit down. It means you're not going anywhere. That's vitally important because this heart doesn't want to go anywhere else. Do you remember, as I mentioned recently, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You know why they follow him? Because their hearts have recognized, I want to stay with him. I want to be near to him. Can you say that in your heart? I don't know much, Jack, but I know this. I want to be near Jesus. Oh, God bless that request and cry of yours, because it proves that Jesus has cried out to humanity and out of the masses of people. Your heart has said, Lord, I'm listening. And the proof of it, that you are a believer, is your, in a sense, holy frustration that you're close to Jesus, but not close enough. Do you know what I'm saying? You love him, but not enough. You've got him, but not enough. Do you know that contradiction? Oh, God, use me. And he is using you, but not enough. What a glorious contradiction to live in, because it means that you're alive. And you're disappointed, aren't you? I'm disappointed. Oh, God, I want to live a sinless life. And then we sin. What do? We cry out to him again. Oh, Lord, help me. And he helps us. He says, but the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, bear fruit with patience. That noble, good heart is that born-again heart. Ezekiel 36, 26 spoke about the Jewish people in the end, and even the believer of today being born again, when he says, I will give you a new heart. Do you have a new heart? And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That is a heart tender toward God and submissive toward God and obedient toward him. A heart that is allowing toward the Lord. A heart that wants to obey. This is a very important verse. Jot it down. It's John 15, verses 1 and 2, out to verse 10. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Stop right there. Christian, listen. This is how you read the Bible. I am the vine, or I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Okay, I understand that chain of command. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Dear God in heaven, please make me a fruit-bearing branch. Okay? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Prune. Look up prune. What does that mean? Ouch. That's what it means. Meaning of prune? Ouch. It means to clip back, to cut back. It means in my life, as a believer, when I'm producing fruit, church, listen, be thou encouraged, believer. Things are going pretty good. I'm walking with God and things are happening. And then all of a sudden, wham! What happened? Pruning. You just done been pruned. You've been pruned. Whack! This thing's cut off. This ministry has been removed from you. This health has been removed from you. This avenue has been removed. Hey, this job's been removed from you. What's happening? Pruning. Why? Because God loves you. Oh, God, I know that you love me. Can you go prune someone else? Oh, he will. But he loves you that, listen, he wants you pruned. Why would he cut back the very branch that's been producing the fruit? Come on, God, what are you doing? Have you ever had that temptation? God, why? Why? I was doing so good. Oh, well, let's keep reading. He prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. You see how fruity he wants you? Look, you live in California, you're already close. We got the environment. We got the word of God. Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing, Jesus said. I love this. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they are gathered together and thrown into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Did you hear that? Be at home in my love. Are you? Please do that. Be at home in his love. Relax in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. By the way, what is the commandment? To believe on him whom God has sent. Can you do that? You can do that. John 15:16. This is on the verse of every Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa ordination document. This verse right here. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father's name, he may give it to you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that powerful? Abide in Christ, says the Bible. In 1 John 2:28, it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I don't want to belabor this, but it is an awesome verse. Listen, now, little children, abide in him. Take up residence in him, that when he appears, it's a verse concerning the rapture, by the way, absolutely, without doubt, having to do with the rapture, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. This is a great verse. You got two Christians. They love God. One's walking and serving the Lord. One's gone, raptured. Look. One's walking with God and serving the Lord. The other one loves God, but even backslides and is not serving the Lord. Listen, is a rebellious child in your family still your child? Do you, if your kid is out goofing up, do you remove his name? You'd like to remove his name from your family, but you can't. He's still your kid. Love keeps him in that relationship, though he may be running around town. You don't abort your child when he's 25 years old acting like an idiot. He's your child. Is he pleasing to you? No. Is he in trouble? Probably. Certainly with you. He's not walking in the way that you raised him, but he's still your child. This verse means that when the Lord comes back, for those who are not walking with God, they're going to be ashamed. It doesn't mean they're not his kids. It doesn't mean they don't get raptured. It means they're ashamed. Oh, no, it's the Lord. You ever seen a kid with his hand in the cookie jar? That's still your kid, the little thief and robber that he is. But they're ashamed. When Jesus comes back, will you be bearing fruit? Or will you be out chasing your tail somewhere? Be careful. You say, Jack, you shouldn't have said that, because now people are going to go out there and they're going to settle for being ashamed. Not the good heart that is caring about all this stuff. A heart desiring to abide, very quickly we'll wrap this up, as a heart that is desiring to abide unto the end. He says the word keep it. The word keep in the Greek is a great word. It means to hold down, to fasten yourself to something. It means to hold in memory, to hold by grip, to hold by bond, to capture, to possess it. They possess the word. They're going to stay at it. Jesus' parable is both to warn and to encourage us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, Is This Your Heart? Part 4. We're so glad you took the time to join us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Now, imagine what could happen to your spiritual life when you make devotions a part of it. Now, a special time with the Lord to both talk to him and listen to him is a great thing. To read a verse from Scripture, let God know what it means to you. And Pastor Jack understands the importance of devotions, and it's why he shares personal experiences in a devotion-type setting at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a brand new devotion each week. You can also subscribe to his devotional list for daily reading. And if you are blessed by Pastor Jack's devotions, which I'm going to say you probably will be, there's a way for you to email him and let him know all about it. Tell him about it. You can do it directly. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.